It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We are streaming on YouTube as well at the Team 980. And it's 5:30. It is a Friday. And even though the Commanders are not playing this weekend until Monday, that's technically next week. That's not this weekend, so to speak. We still have plenty of other games to talk about. And it's 5:30 on a Friday, so I would say it's about that time, eh? And let's hit the magic music and looky there. My man is ready today.
I'm locked in, baby.
Yeah.
I'm locked. I got my game face on. I haven't won a week yet, but it might change this week, correct? I'm letting you know. I'm putting everybody on notice.
Before you do that, you want to tell us the records?
See, why you got to do that, Craig?
Just as a baseline.
Why do you have to do that? Craig, hold on. Let me turn this down. Sorry. Craig is 20 and 11, and yours truly is 16 and 15.
How'd we finish last week? Last week was a rough week.
No. That was bad math. We both picked the Eagles. I went 8-8 last. We both went 8-8 last week. Craig, you're actually 19 and 12, and I'm 15 and 15. No, I'm 15 okay. And 16.
So you're still under 500. Well, we can get you to 500 because we both had the Jets last night. We did not announce that on the show. I did have the Patriots in competition Wednesday, but that was to cover, not to win outright. You had the Jets as well. Aaron Rodgers finally looked like some semblance of the old Aaron Rodgers. The Patriots looked much more like we thought the Patriots were going to look this year. So, yikes on the competition Wednesday and them covering a 6 or 6.5. Doesn't really matter. 24-3 was the final last night. But tack one up for the good guys. Anthony, we're the good guys. And let's keep it going. Picks for the weekend. Giants and Browns. Giants are 0-2. The Browns are 1-1. Cleveland favored by 6.5. Miles Garrett is banged up, but is expected to play. This one should be fairly easy for the Browns because, well, the Giants are about as easy as you get on an NFL schedule these days. But, if they're going to mess around and this offense is going to continue to not be very effective for Cleveland, this game certainly could be within the 6.5-point spread. But by the same token, I think feel pretty comfortable picking Cleveland, which means, of course, New York is going to win because that's how the NFL works. But I'll go Cleveland here.
You're going Cleveland?
Hello, Cleveland.
I want to go Cleveland. I'm a little nervous. Miles Garrett's injury actually does concern me. Who am I fooling, man? I'm not going with the Giants. Give me the Browns.
There's certain teams that I'm probably just not, frankly, going to pick
ever
this year. Yeah.
Giants, like, Panthers.
Well, that's – I was going to say, there's like a hierarchy, right? And if we just like created a 32-team hierarchy and said, this is what our picks are, it wouldn't really work because some teams, you know, obviously injuries, but also home away – occasionally might change who's hot, who's playing well. Mm-hmm. But if we try to do that on a weekly basis, like we just blind ranked 1 through 32 and said, okay, the higher team is going to win. That's our pick. The Giants might only be ahead of the Panthers in terms of a team that would actually pick them. So we just spent too many minutes on the Giants and Browns. Yeah. Packers and Titans, we might see Jordan Love. If we don't, we'll see the Malik Willis revenge game, if you will. Although he was great this week, Anthony, talking about this. Did you see this quote?
What quote?
From Malik Willis when he was asked about, you know, facing the Titans again.
I did not see it.
So it was like, is this a revenge game, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, nah, man, like, I got no hard feelings there. I was paid the entire time. Like, we tried our best, didn't work out. And I think that's, like, what a pro. That made me like Malik Willis a lot. So whether he plays or not, Tennessee's favored by 3 at home. Titans 0-2 trying to avoid an 0-3 start. Can Will Levis not do something crazy and throw away a game?
That's a great question. I don't have the utmost faith in Will Levis, but I do have faith in the Titans' defense. If Malik Willis plays, I have
I'll
the Titans.
I'll let you do a conditional pick.
I have the Titans. If Malik Willis starts at quarterback.
If Jordan Love starts, you have the Packers.
Yes. Are you going to follow in my footsteps?
It would seem like the prudent thing to do, but honestly, no. I'm just going to take the Packers.
Ooh, okay, Craig.
Honestly, why did I not take this game for did this line move?
What is the line?
It's -3. I would take Green Bay. I mean, I'm taking them outright. Why didn't I take this game on Wednesday? Was I drunk?
Hold on. Is this Titans -3?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, I would take the Packers +3 all day. So, why did I not do that on Wednesday?
Questions that need answers, Craig. I think only you can answer that, though.
I can't. I'd have to go back to Wednesday and see if this line moved, or am I just an idiot? Both are possible, to be honest. All right, Packers. I'm taking the Packers. I trust LaFleur, and that's really, honest to God, what it comes down to. I trust LaFleur, and they'll figure it out. Bears and Colts. If you start 0-3, you basically don't make the playoffs. Anthony, you will be in the building.
I will be
in the... Will you see a big blue win?
I will be in the building. And Craig, you know, there was a running joke. You know, all the games that I go to, the team I'm rooting for loses.
It wasn't a joke. It was a real thing.
Well, yeah, it actually was a real thing. But Craig, I'm here to tell you, the last couple of games that I've been to, the team that I've been rooting for...
Uh-oh.
Won. So, say it ain't so. Anthony Haney III in Lucas Oil Stadium. Colts get their first dub, baby. Colts get their first dub, baby.
Is Anthony now, instead of a nightmare maker,
who would have thought?
A streak buster? Can he be the one that turns the tide?
We'll find out. 1 p.m. Sunday, baby. God,
I just don't think the Colts are starting 0-3. In a vacuum, I want to take the Bears because I like them better.
What would Tony Square say?
He would tell me to take the Bears because he thinks the Colts stink.
Yeah, he does.
I'm like, dude, he sent me something to send to you this week, and I just protected you from it.
Thank you.
I just didn't even send it.
Hey, look, thank you.
I was like, this feels like bullying. I'm not going to do that to Anthony. I got to be a buffer.
I didn't type in any Colts, any Zaire Franklin. I didn't type anything like that on Twitter just because I already know it was going to be crazy.
It was a Baldy breakdown, and Z was in the hole. And
getting pushed around.
No, John, was it who did they face last week?
The Packers.
Oh, yeah, it was...
Josh Jacobs?
Yeah, it was a Josh Jacobs, like, bounce.
Oh,
and it's like, Zaire Franklin's in the hole.
Him and Kenny
look
Moore.
At Josh Jacobs.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I was like, that feels mean.
Yep.
And I was also like, I like Zaire. I'm not sending that to Anthony.
Man, to be honest, I watched the film during the game and after the game, and it was bad. It was bad on the entire defense. Zaire said he also had a bad game, so.
Yeah, I mean, look, Z knows. We don't have to rub it in. Like, that's the thing. Rarely are we telling football players things they don't know. And if we are, that's a problem.
Yeah.
Or we're wrong because it's not actually true. Point is, I'm going to take the Colts here.
I gotta
also get away from what I think the Bears can be / what they should be and look at what they are, which is a mess offensively. So they have got to figure that out. There's definitely a chance that Caleb Williams does because that dude is talented as hell. But so far, so not great. Texans and Vikings. There's some injuries on the Texans front in this one that are worth keeping an eye on, including Damian Pierce, I believe, he's out. I'm just pulling it up real quick. Yeah, Joe Mixon's doubtful. Pierce is out. Brevin Jordan, their tight end, put on IR this week. So you're down your top two running backs if you're Houston. Meanwhile, Justin Jefferson looks like he's good to go with the quad injury. We'll see how effective he is. But Dallas Turner, the rookie, is out. And on the other side, Jordan Addison is out as a receiver. So they are down a receiver. It's just not Justin Jefferson. 2-0 Vikings hosting 2-0 Texans. Houston -2 is the line. Who you got?
I'm going with the Texans. I understand Joe Mixon and Damian Pierce aren't there, but Cam Akers, when he's had to fill in, he's definitely been productive. But also,
he knows that, like, McVay, you know, he was awesome for Sean a couple years ago, the McVay-Shanahan tree, and obviously Bobby Slowick's running a similar version of that in Houston.
Yeah, when he's healthy, he's good. But also, even if the run game isn't going well, you have C.J. Stroud. You have Stephon Diggs. You have Tank Dell. You have Nico Collins. You can just lean on the pass, to be honest. We've seen C.J. bail them out several times, been able to, you know, deliver from the pocket. So I think the Texans, they're the better overall team. I think they're going to go out here, get the dub.
No, I agree with you on that. I think the Texans are, like, there's also a reality with Sam Darnold that he's going to have a resurgent year. I think he's going to have the best year of his career. Mm-hmm. I think Kevin's one of them dudes. I've thought that for a long time, and he's proven it. But he's still Sam Darnold. And if you get in a duel with C.J. Stroud, also, we know that Brian Flores likes to blitz. Although I will say, like, Flores has become one of the leaders in the league at the simulated pressures, which I think a lot of fans have heard of at this point, where you bring four, but you're not sure which four. So it's like a different version of, like, a zone blitz, right? You're dropping guys out. You're bringing different guys to the line of scrimmage. You don't know who's going to bail out. And Flores is real aggressive with that stuff. But if you got your safeties, you know, trying to mug the A-gap and then Troy Polamalu it into a cover two shell against Stephon Diggs and Nico Collins, like, CJ might just chuck that thing. Because it does leave you, like, there's a risk involved in that. And so I think there's a chance to make some plays for CJ. So I'm going to go Texans as well. Eagles and Saints. Who knew this would be one that,
man,
like, if I pick one, you know, if I got red zone on the TV and I got one game on the iPad, Eagles Saints might go on the iPad, bro. New Orleans, 2.5-point favorites at home. Saints, 2-0. They've had the best offense, arguably, in all of football. Their defense has also played pretty well. The Eagles, meanwhile, 1-1. Nice bounce back. Nice win on the opener. And then they bounced back into trouble last week with the late loss against the Falcons. I cannot believe this, Anthony, but I am taking the Saints. Like, I think there is a realness to this where, you know, Clint Kubiak is real good as an OC. He's figured out how to put Derek Carr in comfortable positions. And they know that Alvin Kamara is their best player, and they're getting him the football. And they got a bunch of other dudes that are awesome. They got Shaheed. They got Olave. Like, they got dudes in New Orleans. And it's going to be raucous. Like, call me a believer in the Saints.
Dang, Craig. I'm going with the Saints, too. Part of the reason I'm going with the Saints.
Oh, no.
Part of the reason I'm going with the Saints, when I watched the Falcons play the Eagles last week, and I just saw them move the Eagles' defensive line, just move them around, I can only envision the Saints doing the same thing, because they just did that to Dallas's defensive line. So I think this is going to be a whole bunch of smash-mouth football. I think the Saints are going to get after them. Alvin Kamara's probably going to have a big day. I can see the Saints winning a close one, and also A.J. Brown's not playing.
I was going to say, A.J. Brown is out. They've moved James Bradbury to IR, if I'm reading this correctly. No, wasn't he out there last week? Or no, Slay was out there.
Yeah,
Bradbury's been out for a while. So, they got some issues there. And C.J. Gardner-Johnson's questionable, by the way. Give me the Saints. They're healthier.
Who that?
I think they've been better. Who that say? Going to beat them Saints.
Yeah.
Not the Eagles, according to us. Chargers and Steelers. This is a tough one to pick, in part because Justin Herbert is questionable for this game. So if we need to do contingency picks, we can. Both these teams come in 2-0. Smash mouth, attitude. I think that, you know, Harbaugh's mentality is like, okay, TJ Watt, we'll just run it right at you. And that dude can be a problem, but also, like, some of the stuff the Chargers are doing with their jumbo package is crazy. Where, like, traditionally, teams will, they bring in, like, a sixth offensive lineman, and that guy plays tight end. Well, Anthony, part of what the Chargers are doing is, hey, we're going to bring in a sixth offensive lineman. We'll stick him over at right tackle, and we'll move Joe Alt over to left tackle, and then use Rashawn Slater as our tight end. And stuff like that. So, like, they'll just make Rashawn Slater the jumbo guy. and put him at the point of attack. And so, like, you could imagine if we flip what I just said, like, okay, now we got our backup tackle playing left tackle on the backside of a run. And now to deal with TJ Watt, we got Rashawn Slater as the tight end and Joe Alt. And there goes TJ Watt. So there's some stuff they're doing in the run game that is nasty. And obviously, if they're playing a backup quarterback, that's going to become even more important. But I think I want to make a contingency pick here. The more I talk this out, I think if Herbert's in, I want Chargers. If Herbert's out, I want Steelers.
So Chargers, Herbert in. Steelers, Herbert out. Yeah, yes. I think I'm not going to make a contingency pick. I'm just going to go with the Steelers outright. I just think defensively it's going to be too much with a banged-up Herbert. And if Herbert isn't in there, then whoever their backup quarterback is going to just be under a lot of duress. Again, T.J. Watt is a one-man wrecking crew, and I don't think Alex Highsmith gets the credit that he deserves. So I think it's going to be a defensive battle for sure, but I think the Steelers come out on top. And, Craig, for some reason, does Jim Harbaugh give, like, AFC North Big Ten vibes? Like,
of course he does.
It's crazy because he's in L.A., but he has that.
It's so weird that, like, the Chargers are a smash-mouth football
team. Yeah, it's throwing me off a little bit.
It is. Like, hey, you can't play smash-mouth and powder blue. What are we doing? By the way, you know who the Chargers' backup quarterback is?
Something Stick.
Easton Stick. You don't know who his backup is?
I don't know. Taylor Heineke
is in LA now. I honestly, God, didn't know that. So I just looked up their depth chart. I was like, I'm pretty sure Easton Stick's still the backup. Let me double check. I was like, Heineke's the three? Yeah, Taylor Heineke is the three after he was cutting it by Atlanta when they got Penix and Kirk and everybody in the preseason. Broncos and Buccaneers still in the 1 o'clock window. This is the last one in the 1 o'clock window on Sunday. 1, 2, 3 Bucks.
Who?
Broncos Bucks. Or did I skip again?
Oh, my bad. Yeah, I'm going with the Bucks. My bad.
Okay, excellent.
Sorry.
In an effort to keep things moving, now in the 4 o'clock window, Panthers and Raiders. 1, 2, 3
Raiders.
Okay, excellent job, Anthony. Dolphins and Seahawks. This game is far more interesting if the Dolphins quarterback situation isn't Skylar Thompson, with all due respect to Skylar Thompson. Can Mike McDaniel scheme something up, or is this Seattle just overwhelmingly having talent and a healthy quarterback, and that's what you need to win football games?
Can their defense go out there and get a win? I'm not thinking about the offense. I don't know. I can't even say that just because we saw what Matt LaFleur did last week with less. I think I'm going to go with the Seahawks, though.
Yeah, at home.
I don't believe
going with the Seahawks, yeah. Raucous crowd, younger quarterback, inexperienced quarterback. And the other thing is that the Seahawks are pretty physical defensively. And so I am curious, though, because, like, you know, McDaniel has Anthony Weaver on staff, who was with Mike McDonald last year in Baltimore. So there's some insight there. Obviously, it goes both ways. He knows that Mike McDonald knows that defense inside and out, and how he can help his offense attack it. But I am curious to see if Mike McDaniel can say, like, by the way, we have a Mike McDonald versus Mike McDaniel head coach matchup. What dreams are made of. I am curious to see if McDaniel has something funky up his sleeve to try to take advantage of something in that defense. I don't know how much there is to take advantage of schematically. Obviously, some players that need to step up and play well. I'd run a lot at Tariq Woolen. Hey, we're checking to Tariq Woolen's side. Run away from Devin Witherspoon. That's my pro advice.
Woolen's gotten better, though.
As a tackler?
True.
That's run at.
Oh,
run
okay.
At. Not throw at. Oh. Run at. Game of the day, Ravens, Cowboys. Can the Ravens avoid an 0-2 start? If they do, the Cowboys will fall to 1-2. I'm sure there are many folks out there that had this as a potential Super Bowl matchup, Ravens and Cowboys, although not around here. Everyone's like, the Cowboys stink. Like, yeah, we know. You're biased. Cowboys hosting, but they're home dogs. Baltimore favored by 1 on the road. This Baltimore offense, can they put it together against a Cowboys defense that got destroyed by the Saints last week?
I think this game is more important for the Ravens than it is the Cowboys. I think the Cowboys can rebound from a loss to the Ravens. I think the Ravens, they have to put everything on the table and go out there, win this game. Give Derrick Henry the ball 30 times. We just seen what the Saints did. Do it again.
Yeah, I would run straight at the middle of this defense. It's just, I'm taking the Ravens too. I do think Lamar's going to have to make some plays here. And I do think that it's going to be interesting to see, can the Ravens defense get it together?
Man.
And what can Dak and company do? But I'll take the Ravens in this one. I don't have really good reasons. Like, I hate the "it means more" narrative, but I actually kind of think that the Ravens will play with the level of desperation here that is.
They need to.
49ers, 1-1 on the year. The Rams are 0-2 and mega banged up. They're down Cup and Nacua. I don't want to 1-2-3 it, but I am taking the Niners.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Niners, too. Just not a lot to be desired over there in L.A. on the offensive side of the ball.
I will say the Niners offense without CMC or Debo the last couple years, it's not the same. And both of them are out.
And Kittle, possibly.
So, like, it's a lot on Brock Purdy's plate.
Yeah.
I know Jordan Mason's been great, but, like, man, that is a lot. Lions and Cardinals. Low-key, one of the games of the day?
Yes, a good game.
Cardinals, Kyler looks fantastic, just running around like a chicken with his head cut off. Good to see him doing his thing. Lions coming off the tough loss last week. Detroit favored by 3 on the road. Who you got?
This is so tough. I think I'm going to go with the Lions and a nail-biter. I think the Lions just play too much man defense. I think Marvin Harrison is going to have himself a day. But I think the Lions are going to be able to figure it out, get enough stops, and score enough points to go out there and get the dub.
I agree. I think the Lions will bounce back. Also, we haven't talked about this story because I don't know how much original I have to add. The people that found Dan Campbell's house and are like doing terrible stuff that made him move.
Yeah, that's...
Dan Campbell's the best thing that's happened to the Lions franchise in 100 years, like, or at least 50. Like, bleep you. Like, seriously, what the hell is wrong with you people? He's literally the best thing that's happened to your franchise since the 1950s, not named Barry Sanders. And this is what you're doing? Like, get all the way the hell out of here. What is wrong with people? Parents raised you better. And if they didn't, then I'd like to have a talk. Chiefs and Falcons. Chiefs 2-0, Falcons 1-1, thanks to the miracle on Monday night. Short week, that sucks, but at least they get a short week into Sunday night, and it's at home. I got Kansas City on the road here. I think I even took KC minus the 3 in competition Wednesday. Who you got?
I think I'm going to go with the Chiefs, too. I don't know. I think the Falcons need a couple more games under their belt to, like, really get everything going. So I think I'm going to go with the Chiefs.
I expect this to be a close game. Like, this very well might wind up being a push. The KC minus 3 feels like another, like, Mahomes gets the ball late, you know, game-winning field goal type of bit.
Mm-hmm.
The Falcons, if I'm the Falcons, I'm somewhat encouraged from the growth of week 1 to week 2. Kirk looked a lot better. The offense looked a lot better. You know, Bijan's having a solid enough season, but they gotta continue to get everybody going. But that's going to take time. And so can you just stay around 500 for the first half of the season and then hope to take off as Kirk gets healthier and healthier and you get more chemistry and things go? All right, quickly, Jags-Bills, 1-2-3.
Bills!
Okay. Commanders-Bengals, obviously the other Monday night game. We will pick that on the show on Monday. When we get back to that game, though, back to Commanders and Bengals, Cliff Kingsbury and Joey Jr. both spoke. Today, you will hear from the coordinators in our Pick 6 next.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.